week in Missouri politics, midweek update. Now, your boy here knows something about funding at the state of the state, right? It has been 3 years of pretty boring state of the state since the most interesting state of the state in the history of mankind. And he said, I would put every state of the state up against the drama of the 2018 Missouri state of the state. And they came, the show me state knows what's up. Welcome in. I'm Scott Fawn. This is my trusty Scott of Knowledge. Here, let me take a tug on this because you want to hear a good story today. Tastes good. Tastes good. So, great state of the state day. The speech was, well, I mean, no one's going to care about the speech. It was fine. Mike Parson loves Missouri. He does common sense things to try to make the state better. And he talked about that for about 50 minutes. He recognized some folks. Yeah. No, that ain't the story today. The story is kind of the intersection of paranoia and incompetence. Someone predicted the pattern of this would begin to develop. And you saw it a little bit with the speaker made a speech about how we're gonna work through everything. Then COVID. And you had some members that would reach out. They'd probably tell me what I wanted to hear, and so this is dumb. And, you know, you had a rational person who could make arguments about canceling sessions. But when you work in, it kind of has something to do with, they want their own COVID test clinic, right? Well, some folks thought that might make it look like they were getting special treatment. And there are some, not your old hillbilly pal, some folks think that maybe some House members, this is the only time they're going to have power in life, and they might try to make it into a bigger deal than it is, and want things like their own cops and their own, you know, their own subpoenas and their own testing clinics, and they kind of think that it's they kind of make themselves like mini Nancy Pelosi. They want to investigate people and stuff. Well, one of the easiest things to do, Speaker of the House is a very hard job, extremely hard job. One of the easiest things to do as Speaker of the House is you host a state of the state. It basically consists of sitting and clapping. And you get it set up there with Mike Kehoe, one of the greatest statesmen in the state, and the governor, and you look like a big deal, and it's a time-honored tradition of Missouri. And it really, I mean, the governor has to give the speech, and the speaker's kind of sits there and claps, right? Elijah Hart pulled it off fine twice. Todd Richardson did 3 in a row, no problem. Deal did them. They really weren't, it's never been that hard, right? So this year, somehow, it becomes hard. And, you know, the way this goes down is, doing a set in the state's kind of a big deal. You looked up there in the state gallery, which was packed. You saw a bunch of TV cameras and stuff, and people come in and give this attention to state of the state. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, right? So they get in there, and they're doing their preparations, and the Senate gets an escort committee, and the House gets one, and then at 10 o'clock, maybe between 10 and 10:30, the Speaker's office notifies the governor that he can't come and do the state of the state, and they kind of go back and forth a little bit, and finally the speaker says, well, you can come, but it's got to be an empty room. Now, mind you, while they're saying this, the House chamber has 163 reps in it, and staff, and it's a pretty full room, right? While he's saying, you can be in the chamber, but you can't have anybody else in the chamber. They wanted to have it just like the liberal states do. Just one governor in a room, a little webcam or telephone, I don't know, whatever. But it kind of like how they do it in California and New York and other liberal places where they get all triggered about COVID. So while this is going on, the House chamber is full. They're voting on stuff. They're actually passing bills, passing an adoption bill or foster care bill or something today. So that while you're saying you can't come in the chamber, you can't bring, I don't know, 2-3 dozen senators and your cabinet, you can't add them to this, the place is full. So, you know, then the back and forth start. Well, the full leader doesn't really get told a lot, or the speaker pro tem. The minority leader doesn't get told anything. There's rumors the Democrats aren't going to show up. They weren't even told anything was happening. She had no idea. Then, in the midst of all this, there's an email goes out that says folks that are in the designation of your, I don't know, COVID stuff. But if you're older, you got some conditions, you can get your vaccine. Kind of like Mike's your point older, could get a vaccine, right? So 97 and older. Somehow that gets sent out, and one person reads it as,
it wasn't written maybe as specifically as it should have been, that only for the intended recipient. So before you know it, the whole Capitol thinks you get a vaccine, right? So everybody shows up over at the Capitol Plaza getting their vaccines. Now, you can't, it defies logic to say, well, the House chamber can't have people in it because you've got, because we've got a full House of Reps, but we can't add a few folks for the state of the state that Missourians have somehow, the Missouri Speaker has pulled off pretty flawlessly by sitting and clapping for decades and decades and decades of our state. I mean, you know, Eric Greitens somehow gave a state of the state, and Todd sat there and clapped while Eric Greitens told them all they were really unethical. You're able to do this. So while the chamber's full, then everybody's getting vaccinated. Then you're saying the governor can't give the speech that you know happens once a year at 3 o'clock. So they go back and forth and try to negotiate something. And like every problem in state government, who has to go deal with it? Caleb Brown. Caleb Brown gets put in the middle of everything. He has to try to find a way to get this done. Finally, you know, they offered some different dates, and the governor's like, no, we're doing it today. This is the day. Well, the Senate's probably like, this is ridiculous. You can just come to the Senate chamber and do the speech, thinking that now the logjam would break. Nope. As you saw in the dumbest, most ridiculous thing, they moved the State of the State to the Senate chamber, which what's the governor supposed to do, right? He's going to give a State of the State like he pledged the state he's going to do. So then the floor leader and the Speaker pro tem are like, they're not really consulted about this. And then it becomes some sort of like chest thumping. And so finally the Senate just goes, okay. And you kind of had a group of people get together of Senator Schatz and Senator Rowden and Weeman and Dean Plocker and someone from the governor's office. And they're like, okay, you know, this is insane, but we're going to try to compensate for whatever's going on there. And they tried to put out a statement that was just ridiculous. It said, I mean, I felt bad for them, but what they were doing was trying to cover the speaker. And there's sort of a wink and a nod developing between people of, well, maybe he's not up to it, so let's just try to keep the state good. I'll tell you who looked good today. Elijah Haar. What y'all saw today and the result of it is what Elijah Haar's been dealing with for 2 years. I guarantee you, somewhere in a law firm in Springfield, Elijah Haar finally kicked back a little bit and smiled. It's like, oh, now they get to see what I've been dealing with. So they end up moving the thing to the Senate chamber, right? So you go to the Senate, and the lieutenant governor's there, and they can't call to say that because it's not a joint session, just the Senate's hearing an address from the governor. And you have the floor leader and the speaker pro tem and, I don't know, 40 House members, the minority leader. They are all statesmen. They show up to the state of the state because that's what statesmen do. And they clap, and they're supposed to clap. And, you know, something tells me Dean Plocker's going to be able to pull this off in 2 years. I think he can pull off a state of the state. Maybe he needs an Uber app to walk him through it. But I bet you Dean Plocker can pull off, if they put it there, sit here, clap now, I bet he can do it. So they all show up and stand in the back. And so this statement about COVID, look, everything about COVID is whatever you want to make it. There's no reason logic to COVID anymore, really. I mean, but to say we're worried about COVID, so we're going to have this speech in a smaller room and push everybody shoulder to shoulder, there's no reason in logic to this. It's just you have four legislators trying to cover for one legislator that maybe isn't up to this job. So the governor gives his speech. It's fine. It's great. Whatever. And now you're seeing, like, every rep is like, this is so dumb. And, of course, every senator is like, this is the most House thing we've ever seen. And House members have to go, well, yeah, I mean, I don't think any House member thought, hey, we look good here. We showed the governor and the Senate this time. No, everybody knew this was a train wreck that was just the USS House just looking awful. And the pattern will continue. Hey, maybe it doesn't, but this is a little predictable if you kind of see what was happening. And again, I look back and I see Elijah Haar, and if I'm Elijah Haar, I'm like, yep, you miss me now, don't you? And if you're Caleb Brown, you're like, oh my God, this is the next 2 years of my life, just every week. All stems from somehow the speaker thinks he's been offended or not respected enough, or somehow someone doesn't hold their mouth when they talk to him. So the governor's office now, I think what you might see coming out of this debacle is – Plocker, Weeman, Schatz, Rowden kind of coming up with ways to kind of work around the problem. And the irrelevancy of the speakership. The speakership is like a sand dial. Immediately when you name committees, Sam starts falling out of it. And it happens to all of them. It didn't happen to Elijah as much because of COVID. It didn't happen to Todd as much because there was a constitutional crisis. But you see the sand falls out. And it falls out, and it's tough. Deal didn't have a second year. But I'm telling you, the patterns repeat themselves. This one may fall out a little quicker than you think with just goofy stuff like this. So the vaccines, tons of folks got them. Now, let me paint you a picture. I don't know if this happened or not. Hypothetically speaking, let's say you throw a big fit and you won't go to the state of the state, but you do go get in line and jump line in front of healthcare workers. The St. Louis County cops don't even have vaccines. You jump in front of cops and nurses and you get your arm stuck and then you can't even go to the state of the state. What you're paid to do, your job. What you paid for. I'm sure that didn't happen, right? I'm sure it didn't happen. But if it did, what a lousy son of a bitch would have to actually jump ahead of a cop or a nurse or a teacher and then not even show up to do your job that you got vaccinated for. I'm sure it didn't happen, but boy, if it did, what a story that'd be. Yes, we'll see. I don't know, but the speech itself, the governor, I saw the liberal folks talked about how Medicaid, he was able to fund it, but the state's kind of propped up with federal money right now. It may work out great on the Medicaid expansion thing, maybe the perfect time to have done it. I've never been the most anti-Medicaid expansion person. I think if it makes sense business-wise, you do it. So we'll see what happens. But I think the speech itself was fine. Mike Parson gives a good speech. He does a good job of staying within himself. He talks about Missouri and how much he loves it and what he thinks pragmatically and logically you could do. So I thought his stay of the state speech was fine, but boy, and he looked normal. I mean, how many hours did he say that dies? I mean, good Lord. Peter Kinder, toward the end of his term as lieutenant governor, was not known for spending huge amounts of time in the dais. Mike Parson was in that dais all the time. Now, he didn't get to be lieutenant governor very long, as it turned out. But by God, he logged the hours in that dais. It looked normal to see him up there. I was waiting for Paul Whelan to go, Mr. President, and stand up and grab his attention. But alas, he didn't. So if you got to see the speech, it was fine, as the legislative leadership minus one got to see the speech. And you saw a lot of folks that are traditionalist statesmen, historians. They showed up and they watched the governor give his speech. It was true that there was some folks missing from the Senate because of COVID. I heard of people, some people asked me about Senator Rizzo, and I'll just tell you, to be very clear, like at the inauguration, Senator Rizzo has a stomach issue that makes him more at risk for COVID than some other folks. So if you don't see him at something, he's not playing some game. It's that he has a legitimate reason he has to be very careful. It's not a disrespect or anything like that. He's not that guy. It's just he's got a medical condition where he has to be very, very careful. He would be in the group that would be eligible for the vaccine now because of it. And he doesn't, he's not a victim guy. He doesn't go around whining about it. You probably would, that's why you wouldn't know. But there's a reason, and it's not anything off kilter. It's strictly that. So it will be interesting to see the fallout of this. The fallout probably is more victimhood and whining on one side and probably just the other four kind of starting to come up with ways to just make sure things happen kind of around the problem. Because if I had to guess, you've just seen the beginning of paranoia. After the disaster of today, after the House showed up anyway, but the paranoia is peak paranoia now, boy. I'll probably have two bills filed about me now after this. It'll be outstanding. He won't pay him anyway. Let's talk about what else went on this week. The House did move out some bills quick about kids, adoption stuff. They moved those right on through. The Senate, I think, was going to do COVID liability, but I'm not sure. I asked Senator Rowden on the show last week where he talked about He talked about he's not going to move pills when folks want to talk about them but can't because of COVID. And I think that's a reality that it would be hard to do COVID liability with some of the senators that are out, either in quarantine or have been tested positive for COVID. So that would be an interesting dynamic, what they choose to do. They still want to try to do charters, but really the people that are going to filibuster charter expansion is probably going to be some Republicans. So if they're there, you know, you could probably make a better faith point that, you know, you could still have that debate. And a lot of these Senate bills, just because they go to it that night, doesn't mean, a lot of times it's early in session, they'll go to a bill for 6-7 hours and lay it over to come back to it. So I don't know if you'll see COVID liability. That's what that's teed up and ready to go. But it's, and then, you know, Senator O'Loughlin has her education bill that she kind of took Senator Ives and put it into hers. It's ready to go. It's kind of like Senator Luftemeyer took Senator White's bill and plugged it into his. And so it's the way those done, Luftemeyer and O'Loughlin's bills are up. But like I told you before, a lot of people tell me I'm not going to use this virus to move an agenda. I'd be like, yeah, White. If Caleb Brown says that, you could probably take that to the bank. So it'll be very interesting what happens. But interesting state of state, that by far the most interesting since the most interesting one ever. This does not even touch the other one. But I did put my church car hard on to go watch the state of state like I always do. Try to look nice for folks. And I do have my dip in because it was one of those days where maybe a dip's necessary, right? You know what I'm talking about. Then on the show, we will have Governor Parson on the show. We're going to record at the state capitol tomorrow. Be on Sunday, and then we will have, following that, we'll have the show Missouri next week from Phelps County. We're going to talk all about Phelps County. We got the commissioners there. We got Senator Brown's going to come. I might even go to St. James. They have the best marquee, a stag beer lighted marquee in St. James. Used to have the biggest ball of twine in the world there at that bar in St. James, but they don't. But they do have, in St. James, is two flag stores. Some towns ain't even got a flag store. St. James, you got two flag stores. All about it. If you got a question for the governor, send it to me tonight. I'd love to hear some folks and some questions that we could post to him. I'll ask him about the vaccine thing. But I'd love to have some of your questions about anything from the speech. Wayfair is interesting to me. There's a lot of stuff. I probably will ask him about how he ended up giving the speech in the Senate. I doubt he'll answer it with any story like I just told you. But I'll probably ask him and just see what he says. But anyway, it's proving that Missouri politics, you know, when people said you're starting a newspaper, come Missouri politics, they're like, there's not enough things to talk about. And I'm like, eh, maybe not. Wow, there has been. No doubt about it. Going to be an interesting session. And COVID may be one of the more boring things we talk about. Thank you guys very much, and I'll see you Sunday on This Week in Missouri Politics.